Hello and welcome to the latest IC Questions podcast. This is Harriet Klarfelt. Many investors would like to buy into the fast-changing and ever-expanding technology sector, but it can sometimes seem a foregone conclusion that companies operating in this space are high-growth, cash-burning, and unable, or at least unwilling for now, to provide income to shareholders. Even among the US big tech FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google, only Apple pays a dividend. But what about those investors who want to gain exposure to listed tech while also receiving a dividend? Are there specific investment opportunities in tech that combine high growth with good yields? Today, I'll be speaking to Mark Whitehead, manager of the Martin Currie Securities Trust of Scotland. Mark is going to help shed some light on these questions. Mark, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks very much.
To begin with, Mark, could you give us a brief overview of your portfolio? What are the investment themes you follow, and what are the top constituents, and specifically, what are the top tech holdings?
Okay, yeah, so we have around about 28% of the portfolio today invested in the top 10 positions. Two of those are technology stocks. Actually, the largest holding in the portfolio is Microsoft today, at 3.4%, but we also own Taiwan Semiconductor. And we also own Paychex in the tech sector, as well as Apple, Samsung, and TSMC. So we do have quite a bit of tech exposure, and we've been building that over the last 2 years. That's been beneficial to the fund because tech has performed extremely well over the last year, but also over the last 3 years, returning pretty much double the index if you look at a global sterling return from the MSCI World, All Countries World Index. We try to follow a number of different themes that when we invest, and those themes are really allow our companies to invest themselves over the long term to drive revenue growth. So it's not just tech stocks in their own rights that we're looking for. We're also looking for other companies that are also using technology to produce strong revenue growth and operating performance and strong earnings and cash flows going forward. So, for example, some of the themes that we are playing today are such as automated cars, where we invest in Continental, which is a German company. We invest in intelligent infrastructure, Transurban, for example, in Australia, which operates toll roads and is collecting a lot of data about that. Crown Castle in the US, which operates towers and is laying fiber as people are using more and more data on their phones, smartphones, and financial technology as well through ING, which is an online banking platform. We try to offer really a combination of yield and growth when constructing our portfolio. But of course, we have to put together a mix of that, and we really believe that we can find some really fast-growing stocks in the technology sector and those related to it. But they generally are quite low yielding, but we do expect those particular stocks to generate very fast growth and the best dividend growth in the portfolio. So the themes that we're playing with the likes of Taiwan Semiconductor and Microsoft are obviously the likes of the Internet of Things, and we have mobile technology as an extra theme for Apple and Samsung, unsurprisingly.
I might just jump in there and ask you, first of all, why do you think it is that tech companies have historically either yielded very low returns or haven't paid a dividend at all? When it comes to tech and software stocks, does high growth necessarily mean the sacrifice of high yields? And you also, I think, have said in the past that you think this could change in 2018. If you believe that to be the case, what are the market or macro factors at play that could give rise to higher yielding tech stocks this year?
Sure. So generally, tech companies, as you mentioned right at the beginning of the podcast, are seen as growth stocks. They generally invest a high proportion of their earnings every year back into the businesses that they're operating. And this enables them to grow in the future, you know, really potentially quite a bit faster than the rest of the market. And that's why they're seen as quite exciting opportunities for investors. When they're investing, tech companies generally are able to generate pretty strong returns for every pound, euro, sterling that they invest, and they receive a very high incremental return on that investment. So they are incentivized to invest themselves, not to give large proportions of their earnings or cash flows back to shareholders by way of dividends, because, you know, obviously they've got better things to do with the money. They want to invest it over the long term. But technology can also change quickly. So some companies might choose to retain the cash defensively on their balance sheet, for example, in the tech sector, to allow them to invest into disruptive technologies of the future or to acquire other tech companies that are benefiting from that. There's also an investor perception, I think, that is important too, which leads corporate management teams in technology companies to really look for growth, but also they're afraid of looking ex-growth. So they don't want to pay a dividend because they'll be seen to be mature or a legacy tech company that perhaps isn't growing as fast as the rest of the sector, which will lead them to be rated on a lower PE multiple. I think some of this is changing, which is interesting. And to answer your question, I think, you know, I'm not sure it's going to happen just in 2018, but certainly we are seeing some change. There seems to be more acceptance that, certainly within the tech sector, that if you pay a dividend, you can actually grow your business at the same time. So names like Nvidia, Tencent, and Microsoft, you know, have been paying dividends and large dividend increases over the last 6 months. There are a few people out there today doubting their growth potential. They are performing well. Tech names also in the main have very strong net cash positions and high free cash flow margins, generating low to no returns on that cash when it's held overseas in bank accounts. So the change recently that Mr. Trump's Republican Party put through in terms of the U.S. tax rulings will actually drive repatriation of cash back to the U.S. for those U.S. Tech companies, and predominantly you know, the U.S. tech sector is perhaps the largest part of the tech sector. So we've heard Apple, for example, talking about this over the last few months, where they are talking about increasing shareholder returns when they repatriate some of this cash. And I also think improving governance is important, which has really become a focus in more recent times. Capital efficiency, really the focus on returns, return on invested capital. And we've also got, you know, quite high valuations in areas of the tech sector, not in all of it, but in some places, which is leading to less M&A, so a merger appetite. So some of these companies, such as Samsung, we own, have actually intimated they prefer to increase shareholder returns through higher dividends and buybacks rather than go down the M&A route.
The companies that you've just mentioned there are obviously very large companies, Samsung, Apple, you mentioned Microsoft as well. And you've touched on this already, Mark, but what about investors who want to gain exposure to sort of earlier stage tech themes and concepts? So, for example, virtual reality or artificial intelligence, but still seek income at the same time. Would you say the best route would be to invest in those larger tech companies that are already yielding quite a good dividend, for example, Microsoft? Or is there a way here in the UK that investors might be able to buy into those and still receive some income?
I think you raise a very good point. I think, you know, as I've mentioned, generally sort of smaller cap and perhaps faster growth tech generally doesn't pay a dividend. You know, we've talked about that historically. I think really, you know, as tech companies mature, they tend to be growing a little less fast and they are starting to think about some sort of shareholder distribution. That doesn't mean that you have to step aside from some of these really interesting early stage tech themes. And as you've just mentioned, Microsoft, I think that's a great example. It's a leader in many emerging tech trends, the cloud, for example, for storage of data, machine learning, artificial intelligence, you know, augmented reality, and even quantum computing, which we hear they are obviously leading the charge on. So you are definitely going to be able to get this type of exposure from a very large company with a stable balance sheet, which will produce strong growth and very nice free cash flow generation and therefore a growing dividend for you. TSMC directly benefits from most of these trends as well, including cryptocurrency mining, which is obviously something we hear a lot about at the moment. The Internet of Things, for example, autonomous driving, all of these are things that you know, really are cutting-edge technologies, which we are using more and more processing power for. And these companies, such as Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, you know, will really benefit as we use more and more computing power, not just you know, for our smartphones, but also in our cars, etc. So the increasing demand for memory in high-performance computing is really a strong theme that we don't see going away.
Beyond the companies that you've mentioned, which I think are predominantly non-UK, are there any companies here in the UK that you would sort of suggest to look at in terms of income and potentially growth in the tech sector?
We don't currently own any that are actually sort of registered, if you like, with their corporate headquarters in the UK. we think technology companies generally, are global in their approach. So that's the way that we look at it. We don't really try to invest by region. We just try to invest in the best companies that we can find globally as part of our investment process. But we are actually looking at Sage at the moment, which is an old favorite.
Yeah.
It has sold off more recently, and we think it could be worth some more effort on our behalf to try and get underneath the bonnet there. It's an interesting company that has been a darling over the years of the markets, and looks to be a recovery play on areas of software for commercial aspects.
And Sage is yielding around 2% at the moment, is that right?
I think that's right, yeah.
Okay. Any others in the UK or sort of further afield in Europe that you think look interesting at the moment?
So a number of other areas that we've looked at and we continue to look at are Cisco. Nokia, for example, is a telco, but it's obviously going to benefit from 5G. I think other software areas such as SAP. We also, in another fund, have exposure to Accenture, which we like a play on corporate investment spending, IT spending, and digitalization of the economy. These are all long-term trends that we believe will continue to allow these types of companies to generate strong, better-than-market revenue and earnings growth.
Okay. You've touched on this already, but do you think there could be instances, can you envisage sort of immediate instances in which it might reflect badly on a tech company if it were to start paying a dividend because investors start to worry they don't have anything better to invest their cash in? For example, do you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that happened with Microsoft when it first started paying a dividend.
Yes, and I think that's right. I mean, we've seen a number of companies over the last sort of 6 to 12 months start to talk up paying dividends, and they've gone on to be perceived, in the very short term at least, as ex-growth. That's where I think we just have to take very real care as active investors to understand why the companies are starting to pay more dividends, and whether it's just that there's a more technical aspect going on, such as I've mentioned with Apple, where they can now start to repatriate a lot of cash that is sitting dormant offshore. Microsoft, of course, did perform quite poorly as a legacy tech name, and I think it took some time for the market to really understand where they were taking their business and how that would evolve, and for them to start to generate that acceleration in earnings growth and cash flows into the business. I think today, when we look back at Microsoft, it is sitting on quite a high multiple. It's sitting on a high valuation point because it has been starting to deliver that new wave of growth that perhaps people did doubt. But they've actually combined that with a strong dividend payment, which we think looks absolutely rock solid. The company's got a very, very strong balance sheet, and we believe its early transition into the cloud looks to be paying off. And consequently, the company, in an income investor, is a bit of a gold mine, really. It gives you access to one of the fastest growing areas of technology, but also is going to continue to produce that rather nice dividend, which today is around about 2% or just under, but growing it at double digits, which is highly attractive as an income investor.
Something that I think a lot of our listeners will have noticed is in the last few months and days, we've seen increasing governmental and regulatory scrutiny of certain tech platforms, primarily Facebook, Amazon and Google, but there are others too. Some might see this as a dangerous time to invest in the space generally, not just in terms of seeking income. What would you say in terms of where this is all going? Are there tech stocks which are safe from such scrutiny? And from an income perspective, I would assume that companies in this area who are paying dividends might see it as the first thing to go if they were hit with heavy fines or indeed significant expenses tied to regulatory compliance.
I think that's a fascinating question. Certainly I don't think that that the tech sector should be immune from regulatory scrutiny, particularly when we look at the news with Facebook having obviously allowed under its watch the disclosure of a lot of personal information. But I'd rather be invested in tech stocks that are in control of this type of technology that hopefully will be able to, in the future, be the drivers of the types of software that hopefully will mean that security is even better in the future and we learn from what's going on. One thing I would say is that, this is a very different sector to the bank sector that went through many years of regulatory pain in terms of fines, etc., where the leverage was far higher. Many of the tech stocks that we look at, we invest in today, have net cash on their balance sheets. So yes, in the short term, it might be a bit painful if they are fined for these types of things. But in the long term, it should be something they get past pretty quickly. So it's not something it sort of keeps me up at night, really worrying about regulatory scrutiny. But certainly, I think these companies are well positioned to continue to provide a lot of growth. And if you're invested in something like Apple that is talking about contributing $350 billion to the U.S. economy over the next 5 years, a few billion in fines really pales into insignificance. I think these companies are well positioned to grow, and certainly investors should have some exposure to them. I'm not suggesting that you go out and buy tech funds today. I think really the discipline of companies in this space starting to pay dividends, I think, keeps them honest as well. We know that over the long term, that discipline tends to provide better shareholder returns over the long term as well.
Thanks, Mark. Before we finish, are there any other points that you want to add about income in the tech sector?
It's just interesting where we sit at the moment. I mean, we're very aware of how well loved the sector has been and is today, how well it's performed. As I mentioned right at the beginning, you've had a nearly 80% return over the last 3 years from the sector versus 35 for the wider index in sterling terms. But we do continue to see it as a very, a very attractive sector. There are long-term trends, improved competitive dynamics as supply has become more concentrated, and strong fundamentals thanks to the strong free cash flow margins and low balance sheet risks that we see today from many of these net cash positions on the balance sheets of the large tech companies. This is really important as well, and quite timely when we're seeing interest rates or the threat of interest rates rise, and also the cost of part of that, the cost of borrowing in terms of other companies using the debt markets to finance their growth ambitions. Tech companies are largely immune from that. So we think it's a really interesting time. We think that our tech names are not overvalued, and that many traditional income strategies that have ignored this sector and will continue to do so actually put themselves at a disadvantage. We think it's a very natural sector to invest in for our income growth strategies, and we continue to work very hard to find more ideas for the portfolios.
Mark, thank you very much for joining me today. A really useful discussion, but I'm afraid that's all we have time for. For more of our podcasts, search for the IC in iTunes, Acast, or the Investors Chronicle website.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.